This is Steven. I think my favorite part of the day today was skiing through some of the kind of alder and cottonwood flats there at the confluence of the Chutine and the Stikine.
That's the voice of Steven Todd on the evening of February 21st, the fourth completed day of the trip. It was spent skiing in the rain. Rain was something that would make many appearances throughout their journey. Earlier in the week on February 18th, Wrangell residents Bob Lippert, Stephen Todd, and Scott Forbes chartered Sunrise Aviation to Telegraph Creek in British Columbia. This is where their journey on the frozen Stikine River began. Each of them had a sled packed with over 100 pounds of gear and food, which they would pull behind them as they skied. This was going to last them for however long it took to make it to the Stikine Flats. One important item of gear was a teepee that had a collapsible wood-burning stove. This weighed roughly 12 pounds and would serve as a residence for more than half the trip. The three men were skiing between 10 and 15 miles each day and had developed a pattern early on.
Scott's always in the lead. He's a fantastic athlete of the bunch. He's up there skiing moguls and doing tricks and whatnot, way a mile or so up ahead of us, or ahead of me at least. Bob's always running a close second. He's just strong and mean. I kind of like to think of myself as representing the common man on this trip, a person of limited strength and stamina and athletic ability.
On day five, the big obstacle was going around Little Canyon, where they came across open water. That night, they camped by Deeker Creek. They ate lunch at Patmore the following day and decided to make another 8-mile push for Flood Cabin. By the time they reached the cabin, the skiers had completed half the 150-mile journey in only 6 days. With the protection of a real roof over their heads, the guys decided it was time to rest.
We've been sleeping in and eating good meals and playing cards and reading and journaling and just kind of giving our feet a break and catching up on a bit of rest. The cabin's been great to not have to worry about setting up the tent and to be dry and to have a warm fire. We've got lanterns in here and even a propane stove, and it's been nice having some creature comforts way out here on the river.
That's the voice of Scott Forbes. After 2 days of rest at Flood Camp, the trip resumed.
The plan now is to get up in the morning and start heading back downriver. This is the halfway point, so we've got quite a ways to go, but I think we're re-energized after our stint here and looking forward to seeing what lies below.
At this point, the trip takes a turn. In the sixth audio log, Bob Lippert describes their departure from skis.
All right, day 10, Stikine River snowshoe trip. Yes, I said snowshoe, because that's what it's turned into the last couple of days since we left Flood Camp. The weather and snow conditions are about as bad as you could possibly ask for, with snow turning immediately to water, and just pretty bad.
Throughout the trip, temperatures generally remained in the low and mid-30s, warmer than expected for that area in the winter. Here is Stephen Todd's take on the day.
It was a full day of sweat and grunting and pretty much just looking at my feet, trying to stay in the trail that was laid in front of me usually, and a wee bit of trail breaking I did myself. I was glad I had confidence these guys knew CPR. Thought I was going to croak over a few times breaking trail.
Even on snowshoes, the three managed to cover a lot of ground, all the while still pulling their sleds through wet snow. They were traveling roughly 10 miles a day. The sky was gray, and they couldn't see above 400 feet. On day 12, the three men were back on skis. As the day progressed, they were pelted with snow and rain. Sometimes they had to make questionable crossings. They spent the evening in Jacob's cabin, close to the border. It would be their last night in Canada. And at this point in the trip, there is one unrefutable observation made by Bob Lippert.
You should smell what it smells like in this cabin. Holy cow. There's quite a variety of aromas permeating through everything.
The following morning, on day 13, the sun came out. Scott, Bob, and Steven spent the next 2 days skiing, sometimes in snow and rain. Their final push to the end on day 15 required them to take the skis off once again.
We made it about one bend away from the cabin and came up on all open water. But luckily, Scott had his pack raft this whole entire trip, and so he hauled it 150 miles to use it for maybe a quarter of a mile, but it was an important quarter of a mile here at the end.
At the end of day 15, Wrangell was in sight. The journey on the Stikine River from Telegraph Creek to the flats was made in 15 days. 10 of those days was spent pulling sleds on skis, and 3 of those days was spent pulling sleds on snowshoes. A couple of days after Stephen, Bob, and Scott returned from their trip, they managed to reflect on it a bit. They were clean and calm. Scott Forbes talked about how great it was to leave humanity for a bit.
Let Mother Nature kind of dictate the pace of life a little more than what we normally do in our daily lives.
For Bob, the best part of the trip was when it was over.
Once I rounded Point Rossi, that was the best part for me because then it just really started to sink in and started to hit that, wow, you know, we just skied the Stikine River.
Stephen Todd mentioned Thomas Edison's quote, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration."
In our case, it was kind of 99% perspiration and 1% serendipitous skiing. And there were those few times where the skiing seemed perfect and the blue sky popped out rarely and all was right in the world. And those were some of the moments that made all the hard work worth it.
Stephen, Bob, and Scott have already started passing around ideas about their next big adventure. This is Lisa Fu reporting in Wrangell.